Chapter 18. Vulgatis, Divinus Prime. Vulgatis shuddered, its halls and crypts shaking with the rolling boom of gunfire. Even in its deepest vaults, where only the most senior sisters were admitted, the walls trembled and groaned, as though cursing the assault. Stones clattered from the ceiling as Saint Ophiusa hurried down a convoluted series of passageways, muttering prayers as her flickering torch lit the way. She nodded curtly at a pair of sentries who were watching over the door to her cell. They stepped aside and admitted her to the chamber, and she slammed the door, bolting it securely from the inside, checking the lock several times before she turned around. Her cold, joyless cell was almost entirely empty. The damp stone walls were unadorned, and there was hardly any furniture. She made the sign of the Aquila across her chest and kneeled before a shrine that dominated the austere room, lighting a small candle on its scarred surface. It was a simple metal table, on top of which a crude carving of a man had been placed. The wooden man had wings and a sword. Ophiusa had painted most of the effigy dark red, using her own blood. But the face was a white mask, with two bloody thumbprints for eyes.
"Estra Angelus," said the saint, her eyes glinting with tears. "You are so close now. After all these years, Mephiston, you heard me. And you came. Through the stars, you came."
She threw back her veil, and the candlelight washed over her ruined face as she stared intently at the wooden man, listening for an answer. As always, it took a few moments, but she was patient, and, slowly, the little statue started to move. It clicked and jolted like a mechanical toy, creaking spasmodically into life. It lurched across the surface of the metal table and fixed its bloody eyes on her.
"Of course I heard, Ophiusa. Prayers charged with such purity could cross a dozen galaxies. I heard every word as clearly as if you were whispering them in my ear. The God Emperor himself assured me you would not fail. And now, your work is almost complete. I will reach you in a few hours, and everything we have strived for will be realized. All thanks to your devotion and bravery."
Tears poured down the raw flesh of Saint Ophiusa's face.
"The apostates have not reached anywhere near the gates, nor will they. We will easily hold them off until you can reach us and claim the blade."
The wooden man reached out, juddering and trembling as it touched her clasped hands.
"Your faith must hold a little longer, Ophiusa," it said.
"What do you mean?"
Her breath came in faint gasps.
"I will do anything, whatever you need of me, Lord Mephiston. What do you require? Just tell me, and it will be done. There is no sacrifice I will not make. I would—"
"I require nothing that you are not already doing, my child."
The wooden man waved at the trembling ceiling as it shed more dust into the little room.
"I just wanted to give you a warning. The battle will not be as brief as you think."
She frowned.
"Those guardsmen are barely worthy of our guns, Estra Angelus. I do not believe even one of my sisters will fall. We will drive them into the abyss with ease, my lord. Their heresy has robbed them of sense. An army like that could not hope to challenge Vulgatis. It is madness. They are dying in their hundreds. That army will not survive the morning."
"I would expect no less of the Adeptus Sororitas," said the wooden man. "But I am not talking about those dragoons. It is not the guardsmen that will test you, but what follows.
Ophiusa was about to ask a question, but then she shook her head, raising her chin proudly.
I fear nothing, Astra Angelus. We will hold these gates until you arrive, whatever the apostates throw at us. When you reach Volgatis, I will be waiting, as I promised.
I know it, said the wooden man, as I always did. We dream, dreaming, dreamed.
Ophiusa frowned.
Dream, dreaming, dreamed? What does that mean, my lord? Is it a prayer?
Nothing,
replied the little doll, shaking its head with a brittle snapping sound, seeming annoyed by its own words. Ophiusa moved back from the table a little, sensing something unfamiliar in the statue's voice. A cold shadow passed through her mind, as though she had almost recalled something that she had hidden from herself. The wooden man's words had planted a worm of fear in her stomach, but she could not give the fear a name.
You are afraid? Asked the doll. It would be understandable. The Emperor and I have asked, and will ask, a lot of you, holding out here as the rest of the planet succumbs to madness. I know and knew that the battle ahead will test you greatly. If you wished or wish it, I could pass this burden on to another.
Ophiusa stiffened.
No!
She cried, her doubt vanishing. Then she lowered her voice.
No, Astra Angelus, I am not afraid. Do not lose your faith in me now that we are so close. I will keep calling to you until you have the blade petrific in your hands. I will keep calling to you as I have done for all these years.
The wooden man nodded.
Truly, you are and were divine, Ophiusa, as I know and knew. Do you remember the day that we first met?
Ophiusa smiled.
Of course. I thought I was damned. I thought I was tainted by those unnatural wounds. And then you appeared.
Her voice trembled.
And you showed me the way to salvation.
The wooden man nodded.
You burned away your own skin. What greater proof of your purity could the God Emperor require? How could there be a taint of corruption in you if you had the bravery to torch the mark of chaos from your own body?
You saved me,
she whispered.
You saved yourself.
The walls shook again, more violently than before, and Ophiusa glanced up at the cracking ceiling.
It is time, said the wooden man. I wish we could talk for longer, but the true test is almost upon you now. Lead your sisters to glory, my child, and soon we will meet.
Lord Mephiston,
she whispered, shaking her head in wonder.
Soon we will meet.
She stood, dusted down her armour, and nodded.
Until then.
Until then,
replied the wooden man, as Ophiusa rushed from the cell. The door slammed, and the candle flickered, throwing the dull shadow across the stone walls. The wooden man was lifeless once more, but its shadow continued moving, even after the flame had settled. It coiled and rolled, then formed into a slender, hooded figure. A monk, with a talon-like beak jutting from his hood. He laughed quietly to himself, his voice a chorus of whispers and growls.
We dream, dreaming, dreamed,
he said, struggling to contain his amusement.
But infinity comes.